Sasha.
Hey, Courtney.
Did you know that for the month of October, all the cells in your body rearrange?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Suddenly you're working with Fritochondria.
Oh!
It's the haunted house of the cell. And Spoop Hour.
It's Spoop Hour.
All right, welcome back.
This is Spoop Hour, a paranormal comedy podcast hosted by two Halloweenies. I'm Sasha.
I'm Courtney. Hello. I'm also old now.
Yeah.
Well, but when you're listening to this.
Oh, yeah. When you're listening to this, you're old now. And it's also my birthday.
And it's also Sasha's birthday. That's true. Wish her happy birthday, assholes.
Yeah.
Happy birthday,
when
Sasha.
When this drops, it's October 15th. It's my birthday.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a douchebag. I have your present right here, but you can't open it because you're not right here.
I'm not right here.
Oh, what a shame.
Oh, what a shame.
Oh, I could probably hold it up. I've got blurred background on.
Oh, you do have blurred background. Oh, that would be really funny. Guess your present.
Whoa.
What I just saw a big white blur.
Mysterious. You'll get your present next week, Sasha. You're going to have to wait a whole week for
it. Oh, no.
Birthday week. Anyway,
you're gonna have to wait a little bit because I'm still waiting on yours in the mail.
That happens.
Yeah.
When you open yours, I have a funny story. Well, actually, I can tell you the funny story about it now. So one of the things I considered getting for you, there's someone on Etsy who sells like healing crystal quartz with like succulents in it.
Ooh.
And I was gonna get that for you, and I was like, this is gonna be great. It's gonna be like a nod to crystal healing and ridiculous shit like that. And also, we just like crystals here.
Yeah.
And also, you love plants. But then I literally had it in my Etsy cart like a month ago, and I go to click purchase, and then I was like, Courtney, you're gonna have to keep this plant alive until you can give it to Sasha. And that, I was like, I can't do that. It's not gonna happen.
That's so funny.
I took it out of my cart.
Oh my god.
But anyway, if you want one, I think I still have it saved, so I can send you the
send me a link. Oh my god. That'd be so funny.
I was like, I just had this image of you like opening it and being like, it's a crystal with a dead plant in it. Great. How did you know?
I love dead plants.
I love dead plants so much.
Oh, what a great planter for me to put a brand new plant in.
And a live plant in that you haven't touched with your disgusting thumbs of death, Courtney.
So funny.
Anyway, you can find us on the Twitter and the Instagram. We're at Spoop Hour in both places. We're doing hashtag 31 days of Halloween, which means every day we post a new picture from our trip to the Halloween selfie pop-up that we did.
My face is terrifying in a lot of them.
You're so cute, though. I had a lot of fun. Yes, you're precious.
I've committed to the bit.
And I love that you've committed to it. It's super cute.
I just had a thought.
Tell me. If other people
take Halloween selfies and they send them to us,
yes,
we could send them a sticker.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it.
We also have my goal for, I'm kind of off tomorrow.
Yeah.
My goal is to get our Patreon going because we have our first patron.
Hell yeah.
Somebody found us. He must have searched for us. Yeah,
I was going to be like, oh, it's probably one of our friends.
No.
No, it was just someone.
Shout out to James. You're going to get our first Patreon shout out. I won't say your last name because I don't know if you want to say your last name because you're like a real person. We'll figure it out. And James, you're going to be the first one to get it. So everybody thank James for keeping the lights on in this place, for keeping us in blurred backgrounds, for keeping me in dead plants and succulent
Patreon
crystals.
Sticker. Send us a Halloween selfie sticker.
Sticker.
I went to Wegmans and could not find the ham.
Sticker.
But I'll get a sticker at some point. Send us your spooky stories. It's Halloween time.
Speaking of, someone sent us a spooky story.
Where did you find it? Was it on our Gmail account, spoophour@gmail.com?
Why, yes, Sasha,
where people should send us their stories.
That's a great place for them to send us stories. As Susan, whom we'll all remember from when I told that terrifying story about the fucking llama that bit me.
Oh,
Susan
no.
is the friend I made because Susan. Of that stupid fucking llama.
Susan's also my internet person. Friend now. I'm yes. really excited.
Susan is fucking great.
Yeah, y'all Susan's been giving me a lot of recommendations for my classroom in terms of like graphic novel memoirists. It's or like graphic memoirists for our graphic novel unit. That llama has brought... The yeah, evil llama brought us all together.
Yeah, we're big fans of Susan. They are just the coolest.
Yeah.
So everybody, shout out to Susan. All right. Susan writes, hello, it me, your friend Via Llama. Thank you for bringing up. I'm genuinely having a Halloween crisis because I kind of want to be a llama. Because as my coworker pointed out, you're supposed to be something scary, right? And what could be scarier than a fucking llama that tries to bite you?
Meanwhile, Susan would think that you're just like really cute. I mean, you you would be a cute llama, but I would also be scared of you because I don't want you to
you
bite me.
You should be fucking scared of me. Anyway, Susan wanted to send a story in the spoopy birthday season. Thank you, Susan. When my friend Karen, to whom Courtney showed her llama bruises, true.
Yep.
And I were in North Carolina for the wedding where I met this fucking llama. We decided to drive up the Blue Ridge Parkway to see what we could see and maybe walk in some nature. Our conversation consisted mostly of me white-knuckling it while I envisioned Karen driving off a mountain or being plowed into by a car coming the other way, and sharing with Karen, a true murderino, such musings as, I wonder how many serial killers are currently active in meandering Appalachia.
Oh no.
She responded, oh, a lot. I don't want to know. At a certain point, we parked at an overlook where several families were also parked and walked in different directions to see the view, take some photos, and soak it in.
Yeah.
After a few minutes, I turned around and realized that I was the only one on the overlook. Uh-oh. All the families had departed, and Karen, I'm just now realizing it might be Karin. I'm sorry. It's K-A-R-I-N. Karin? Karin? I'm very sorry if I'm saying Karin's name wrong.
I have a friend who is K-A-R-I-N, and it's pronounced Karin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I'll just call her K for me.
Or Corrine.
Corrine. Could be. Who's to say?
Maybe if I had an E at the end.
Anyway, most importantly, K is now gone. I couldn't see her. She wasn't in the car. First, my brain went to the obvious and terrifying. She fell. No, no. Karen wouldn't have fallen. She's practical and safe. Maybe. Then my brain went to the less obvious, but perhaps more terrifying. She was serial killed.
Oh, I love no.
That's how they describe it, too. Like, Susan, that's a very me way of saying somebody got serial killed. Ugh. I was alone. My housemate had been serial killed somewhere. And what was worse, she had the car keys.
Oh, no.
The fucking serial killer had the car keys.
They're not going to be able to get home.
Yep. And my phone did not have a great signal because you're in Appalachia. There's no signal anywhere. Like,
oh God, I'm so scared
signals.
For them.
I know. And we know they're okay because they found
me. I mean, obviously they are okay. I was just talking to them on Twitter the other day. Like,
I know that they're fine.
But what if they aren't?
Then I hear a voice. Susan, I'm over here. And it was Karen. And she'd walk down a hidden path without telling me. Ooh, don't do that, girl.
Say, like, hey, I found a cool hidden path. Why don't we walk down it together?
Yeah, I'm going to step over here and I'll be right back.
That's why I narrate every like move of my like every movement. Like,
and I appreciate
oh, hey, guys,
it.
I'm going to go to the bathroom. Oh, wow.
And
thanks
then
for
I always know where you are.
Yeah, but now
and
you know
I'm
that
not
I'm
terrified.
Going to the bathroom.
Oh, no, a murderer is in my house and has kidnapped Sasha. Right. Where did she go? Oh,
or
that
when
was
we're
the
in
toilet.
Public.
She must be in the bathroom.
Oh, I'm going to yeah. go. Oh, hey, I'm hiking with my family. Hey,
great.
I want to go see what's over here. I'm going to go
good.
Over there. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking do it. Great. Anyway.
Karen.
And she said, I just realized you couldn't see me and I should let you know I wasn't murdered. So we did a little forest walking, then got in the car and kept driving up the mountain. Hashtag friendship.
Wait, but I love that Karen told them I wasn't murdered as because Karen knows that Susan would
that's
worry.
That's exactly what Susan was thinking. Yeah, I appreciate that. Anyway, Susan writes, and that's my spoopy story for you. Happy birthday, and I'm grateful for you. Aw, Susan.
Aw, Susan.
And then they wrote a P.S. I don't work from home. I wish I did. 2 days a week, I work in an accounting firm doing bookkeeping and don't want to talk to my coworkers. So I put in headphones, and I've been listening to podcasts. Aw. And then they say they can rec some amazing audio dramas. Would recommend the case of Starship Iris, which is actually written by a client of theirs.
Ooh.
Jessica Best. She makes sure to pay everybody and she hires people with marginalizations that match the characters. So it's very thoughtful and puts money where the representation is. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Having not listened to it, I'm going to say go ahead and listen to The Strange Case of Starship Iris.
I know Susan, a lot of the discussion I've had with Susan is about
representation.
Like representation. Yeah.
Yeah, they do a lot of publishing,
mm-hmm.
is my understanding of them.
Yep.
And most of what I know about them is that the llama likes them better than me. But that's not their fault. It's just because the llama...
It's not their fault.
I didn't tell you. Oh, man. So,
did you turn into a llama wolf? A were-llama?
I did. I turned into a were-llama, not a swear-llama. I don't want to go into it. It was weird. No, when I went to Eastern Market a couple weekends ago, there was a petting zoo because it was the Barracks Row Festival. Mm. The petting zoo had two llamas, and I swear to fuck, those motherfuckers saw me and beelined to the friggin' fence. And I was like, you've got to be shitting me. What is happening?
It's your llama magnetism.
I have uncontrollable llama magnetism.
Your llama magnetism.
My llama magnetism is off the charts.
There must be something about you. There's just a je ne sais llama about you.
I make all the boy llamas go, how have I not made that joke yet with me being bitten by a llama? I love the Princess Diaries, too.
Yeah.
Did anything spooky happen to you this week?
The weather finally changed over to fall.
Thank fuck.
I got to wear a cape at the Ren Fair the other day.
Nice.
I took it off in the afternoon because it did get a little bit warm, but I got to wear it to Ren Fair.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. New Orleans was fucking hot. If I think here is a disgusting swampland, I was consistently leaving the hotel at like 5:30 or 6 in the morning, and it was already 80 fucking degrees and like 70% humidity.
You know, last Friday while you were down in New Orleans, I made Jack watch Princess and the Frog. Down in New Orleans.
That was me. I was living it.
I mean, a lot of the movie takes place in a swamp, so that would make sense.
Yes, because it's a disgusting swampland. Yeah, down on the bayou. Something spooky did happen to me separate from what this week's episode is about.
Ooh.
So, as I believe you all have gleaned, I am now freshly home from my big business trip to New Orleans.
And you survived.
I survived. Just barely. I was very sleepy. So we get to the hotel. We've been on a plane. Our Lyft driver couldn't find us because New Orleans, who knows? And we finally get to our hotel and we're getting on the elevator and people come charging off the elevator and they go, we need maintenance. And we're like, what? And they go, there's someone trapped in the elevator screaming help on the fifth floor. So we get in the elevator and sure enough you hit fifth floor and you just hear help, help, and we're all like yes.
Oh no.
So that was the biggest, spookiest thing that happened to me.
Oh god.
Anyway, what are we talking about today?
New Orleans.
I was just there. I did technically only one ghost tour and one tour that was called the Bad Bitches of New Orleans
Hell
tour.
Yeah.
And I did it because, like, I wanted to try to see Marie Laveau's grave.
Yeah.
We all know on this podcast how I feel about Marie Laveau.
Oh, yeah.
Rudy queen of my heart.
You just posted a photo on our Instagram story and our Twitter feed with Marie Laveau.
For hashtag 31 Days of Halloween. Love her. So I was, like, looking to try and find a tour that would take us to her, like, gravestone. Mm-hmm. But there are very few that do it now because so many people were damaging her gravestone to try and, like, take a piece of it home and whatever. So now it's, like, super close to the public. You have to go in with, like, only a specific tour guide.
Uh-huh.
And those tours are very limited from what I could tell, so I did not get to go there. Also, fun fact, Nicolas Cage's weird pyramid, directly next to Marie Laveau's tomb.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So when he goes, he's going to be spending an eternity with her, but we'll get into that in a second. So, New Orleans. I'll start with the ghost tour because that was the thing we did first.
Yeah.
This was Saturday night. So it's me, my Jack flew down because it'd be weird if we flew your Jack down.
Yeah.
and then my coworker and her husband. Mm-hmm. And as I'm sure all of you know, there's a big drinking culture in New Orleans.
Oh, absolutely.
They have no open container laws. They have drive-through daiquiri shops.
Amazing.
Where literally you're in your car and you go, yeah, I'll have two strawberry daiquiris and a banana daiquiri to go. And they bring them to you in your car. Seems like a terrible idea.
That seems like a terrible idea, but you do you.
But you do you, New Orleans. Go off. So
drive responsibly.
Please don't drink your daiquiri that you just got at the drive-through while you drive. Save it till you're home. So, this bus tour was BYOB.
Okay.
And so, we got a really good dinner at this tavern that supports local rescue dogs.
Ooh.
And we're like, oh, we got to make sure we got to get a place closer to where the bus is going to pick us up so we can get a drink. And then we were like, wait, no open container laws. So we got booze at the puppy tavern.
Yes.
It's called the Tayo Tavern, but it's spelled T-A-H-Y-O.
Okay.
Which somehow in Creole is pronounced Tayo.
Okay.
Or Tayo. Tayo.
Tayo.
Don't know how. Delicious food. Really nice people. They gave me a sweet ass pen. So we get dinner at Tayo Tavern. And I go to sign a check. And he goes, here, use my pen.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's so cute, right? It's a little syringe.
It's we'll post a picture of it on the Instagram.
And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And he pulls out like three other colors. And I'm like, I want the blue one.
Aww.
And he goes, you know, you can keep it if you want. And I was like, oh, really? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, oh my God. So anyway, Tayo Tavern. Go feed puppers. Feed yourself. Their fucking mac and cheese is great.
Ooh.
Their fucking cheese curds are great.
Mm.
Their fucking duck fat fries are great.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, so I got some sort of blue beverage that was about this blue. It was delicious. It was piña colada. We get on this bus and we drive to our first stop, which is one of the classic like New Orleans cemeteries.
Uh-huh.
And as we're driving, Trish, our guide, goes, I'm all for drinking. Like, do what you need to do. Don't be sloppy. Don't throw up on my bus. I have to kick you off. But I always encourage drinking because, quote, the more spirits you drink, the more you see. Trish gets it.
She gets it.
She gets
it. I feel
it.
Like so, we need to put that on a shirt.
I know. The more spirits you drink, the more spirits you see.
That's amazing.
Spook Hour, your dad's favorite podcast.
Your dad's favorite podcast.
We get to our first stop, and it's cemetery, obviously. So
obviously,
it's got all of the above ground, like, mausoleum things, and then just, like, these walls. And it was super dark, and we had, you know, we all get off the bus. And Trish started telling us about burial traditions. So before they figured out in New Orleans that, like, it is too much of a swampland to put bodies in the ground, because anything you put in is just going to come right back out. Before they figured that out.
Floaters.
Yeah, all floaters. Before they figured it out, they're like, well, you know, there's water down there. What if we just drill some holes in the casket? Then it'll sink and then it won't come back up. So originally when they were still trying to bury people, they were drilling holes in caskets so that the body would like drown.
I understand the physics, but also the mental image. It's very upsetting.
I'm just imagining, like, all of the air that's about it. It's like, and here lies great-grandpa, whoever. He goes as he lives. And then they, like, put him in the ground. It's all somber. And then it does that farty noise thing that water does when it, like, loops up. Just as the water hits the holes.
Well, I'm just imagining within 24 hours, grandpa being, like, super bloated and, like, taking up the entire shape of the container he is in, because all the bacteria in the water is coming after him, and he's just becoming jello, and it's all leaking into the groundwater.
And now, if you'll recall, everything that goes in the ground
comes back
pops
up.
Right back up. So now you have weird jello grandpa being like, hey guys, not looking too good anymore.
Like an eyeball just sort of pops up. I'm thinking about the pickled eyeball from that Old Town Alexandria ghost story, or even the bodies on ice in Old Town. But yeah, tell me about Grandpa Jello.
Grandpa, they're like, all right, we can't do this anymore.
He's Jello.
So he's Jello. They're like, this, we can't keep J-E-L-L-O-ing all of our dead people, because as we all know, the tagline of Jello is, it's alive!
And it's
which
not.
Which is kind of tasteless for dead people. So they're like, we gotta stop Jello-ing Grandpa.
It's alive!
What can we do? Well, it's alive! So that's when they started building the above-ground mausoleums. So something I learned that I did not know about, but I guess it makes sense given, think about it, a lot of people die.
Yeah.
If you're doing one body per mausoleum, you're gonna run out of floor space real fast.
Yeah.
So they have a law on the books called the 1 year, 1 day rule.
Uh-huh.
So the 1 year, 1 day rule goes like this. So you put somebody in your mausoleum. You go, RIP, great, great grandpa. You did what you want to the end. God bless you. Let's shove you in here. Have a jazz funeral.
And you won't become Jello.
And you won't become J-E-L-L-O. It's alive. And they let grandpa sit for 1 year and 1 day. Now, what do we know about bodies? They decompose. Yes. And what else do we know about Louisiana? It's hot AF and swampy. Uh-huh. So anything that's left in the open air is going to be fucking soup. It's uh-huh. just going to...
So now Grandpa's soup.
Per Trish, it can get so hot in the mausoleums because obviously they don't have AC. They don't have any uh-huh. kind of ventilation. It's just like a hot box.
I feel like they could explode.
Well, yes. Essentially, they come... They do... It's like a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
So all of the soft bits, kaput, gone. Grandpa, uh-huh. RIP, no more. Grandpa's just bones now. And so at the 1 year and 1 day mark, they go in there and they're like, Grandpa, you did it again, kiddo. And then they take this big stick and they shove Grandpa's bones down the back. And there's this thing called a caveau. Uh-huh. And basically they push all the bones off of the like flat part tomb thing, and they push them into the caveau, and the caveau just stores them in the walls. And so you will store like generations of families in the same fucking tomb.
It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the person who has to go clear it out shove everything back there.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
So what Trish said is this is the origin of the phrase you wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, because that's what they use. They essentially use like a broom to push the bones into the caveau so that they go to their final resting place.
I love it.
Yeah. And the reason why it's the 1 year and 1 day rule is because they're like, okay, we wait a year because that's appropriate mourning. And it's just tacky to move somebody on the anniversary of them being interred. So let's give them that extra day.
That's actually kind of sweet. It reminds me of like a lot of the Japanese have different milestones after someone has passed. And mm-hmm. there's different ceremonies that go along with it based on the number of weeks, months, days, years. And then that's really cool. I like
that. Yeah. Yeah. And like, I really like the, like, it's something I'd never given much thought to. Of course, there's not only one person in the mausoleum.
Yeah.
Because more than 20 people have died in the history of New Orleans. Like, you'd run out of space really fast. So it's like pretty standard, like three people will lie and rest mm-hmm. there at a time. Like to get mm-hmm. a single where only one person would lay in it at a time for 1 year and 1 day, that's pretty expensive and pretty rare. For the most part, it's like three. So you'll get like three families lying in. Mm. And then there are like secret societies and like any kind of like social clubs that will also have like big ones. So mm-hmm. If you're a member of those clubs, you can get buried there.
Yeah.
And they hold onto your bones for 1 year and 1 day before they, you know, dump you in the kubo.
Yeah. In Okinawa, unlike in mainland Japan, Okinawa has really big mausoleum type tombs that look like mm-hmm. tortoise shells that are built into the hillsides. And those mm-hmm. will store like generations of one family's ashes. Mm-hmm. And the descendants will come out, clean it out. I mean, everyone's just in an urn. So you clean it out and then organize it and then have a picnic.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for like a safe space saving tactic mm-hmm. because New Orleans city, you know, but only with so much land. Okinawa island only so much land.
Yeah. And so some of the other options they have at this particular cemetery that we went to, mm-hmm. they have a wall. So what the wall is, it's essentially like a group tomb, so it's not ashes yet. It's not like a true like mausoleum, but it will be. It's like a long paneled wall. I got a picture of it. It was very dark.
So it's not like the wall the big vertical stuff at Arlington Cemetery, right? Each one of those, like there's like a tile and there's like a box you put like ashes in.
It's kind of like that, but again, like it's full of the body. Like
it still has the body, not the ashes.
It's still bodies. Yeah.
Oh, that's so. Let me see.
Oh, here we go. Shout out to our tour guide for using a flashlight. So you can see the wall there.
Oh, okay. So I can kind of see it. Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, again, for 1 year and 1 day, someone would lie in state there. They'd shove them to the back of the wall and then they'd go into the big like group tomb. But this wall specifically was for victims of yellow fever because New Orleans got hit really hard by yellow fever.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of thousands of people died. Like, she said something like, it had 100% fatality rate, as far as they knew, and then it hit, you know, mm-hmm. 50% of homes or whatever. So they had all of these people dying, and they needed to get them, like, in there, mm-hmm. get them away from everybody else so that nobody else would get yellow fever. And at a certain point, like, because of how many dead bodies there were, basically everything was being used as an impromptu mortuary. Mm-hmm. And so if it got out that your loved one had died of yellow fever in the house, mm-hmm. you still had to hold on to that body.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So, big yikes. So yeah. Anyway, they built the walls. They put them in there. They push the bones after 1 year and 1 day. They all fall in the back.
Okay.
All right. You ready for a fun fact about cemeteries that I did not know?
I am.
So at this point in the tour, one of the gentlemen in our group sneezes. And
I'm worried for him.
Our tour guide goes, when we go to the second place where there are actually bodies, because we went to a mass grave, she was like, do not sneeze there. Because if someone doesn't say bless you to you, a ghost is going to jump in that moment where your heart stops when you sneeze. So if you sneeze in a cemetery, a ghost is jumping in.
Oh, no.
Ghost is like, it's free real estate, and just like hops on in there. It's
free real estate.
So these tombs, New Orleans, in addition to being called the Big Easy, is also sometimes called City of the Dead.
I was going to say the Big Sneezy.
The Big Sneezy. Am I right, ladies? So it's because in a certain neighborhood where they just have all these cemeteries, 1.5 million people are buried.
Oh.
Which is a great deal. I mean, buried, that's, air quotes.
Yeah, air quotes.
1.5 million people have their bones in a big shared caveau in these tombs.
Oof.
Yeah. So then we get to the second place, and she first took us to the Hurricane Katrina. It's essentially like honoring the unknown victims of Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, I was
going
to ask, like, how are the victims of Hurricane Katrina, like, either buried or honored or whatnot there?
So what they ended up doing, this particular shrine, they set it up so that, like, they have, like, the wall tombs, like what they mm-hmm. did with the yellow fever wall. They have those, and they have them arranged to be kind of shaped like a hurricane.
Yeah.
And they have a monument saying, basically, we honor those we lost during Katrina. Mm-hmm. This is so we don't forget. We'll always remember you.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those graves are unlabeled because these were people that they kept out for months hoping that someone would come forward and say, I know who this person is. I know who this person is. But there were just so many people who were impacted by the storm that some of these people were unclaimed. So some, mm-hmm. so a lot of the tombs in this particular shrine mm-hmm. were unmarked.
Oh, wow.
So we spend a very sad, quiet moment there mm-hmm. with all of us getting, like, super emotional. And then she's like, now we're going back to the fun stuff. Sorry, guys. I just always like to do this because I always like to, you know, remind us. Mm-hmm. It's important to remember that this happened. And so then she took us, like, trawling through the fucking woods.
That's exactly where you want to be.
I did not care for that because it was dark. And she was like, some of you tall people might have to duck for these trees. The opening was, like, 3 feet tall. And I'm like, what are we calling tall here?
Like, spiderwebs?
No spider webs,
oh,
remarkably.
Good. Oh,
but
wow.
I'm pretty sure at one point my coworker and I stepped on an anthill because all of a sudden our feet started getting super itchy.
Oh,
so
no.
So either we had a weird fetishist ghost whose thing was making ladies' feet itch or we stepped on an anthill because it was like sandy and marshland and whatever. But this was where the fun started because we go to, well, fun. So there was, it's essentially a mass grave, and uh-huh. the tree we were at is where they used to do like public hangings.
Very
fun. So a lot
fun.
Of people... Yeah, super fun. So, like, kind of the unofficial hangman's noose was this tree. And then uh-huh. also you had people who took their own lives there. And it just, basically it was just a dumping ground for any, back during the yellow fever epidemic. Mm-hmm. You know that scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail with the bring out your dead?
Yeah, yeah.
This is where those bodies went. So they'd go around and be like, bring out your dead, get the dead, and then they dumped them into this big hole in the ground. So she's like, anyway, it's haunted AF. I've uh-huh. had my hair pulled here. People have reported scratches, whatever. So then she pulls out all the toys. So she has the EMF readers, uh-huh. which are the electromagnetic whatever the fuck. That's what the F stands for, I think.
Whatever the
electromagnetic whatever the fuck. And then she has dowsing rods and she's like, make sure you share. Everybody gets one. So my coworker and her husband grabbed the EMF. I grabbed the dowsing rods and our group is like good to go. So we're wandering around. Jack and I end up underneath the tree and we're just playing with it. We yeah. all know how I feel about ghosts. I was mostly just having fun. So I'm holding the dowsing rods. Presumably my shaky hands are wiggling. If you don't know what dowsing rods are, they're kind of L-shaped uh-huh. and you hold them and then you establish with the ghost. Okay, yes is, we did yes is crossed uh-huh. and no is keep them straight. So we go, is any ghost here? We get a yes. And I'm like, okay, cool. And we're like, are you a male or female? Or we go, are you male? And then For each one we ask, are you male? Are you female? Do you prescribe to the non-binary stuff? Because society is stupid and shoves a lot of gender bullshit on us.
Oh, I was going to say, we added non-binary to one of our club survey things. Nice. Because we need to like communicate with the national office. And I don't know if the national office for our honor society has that yet, but just to make sure that our students were able to have the option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, so we did that with the ghosts, you know, just trying to be cognizant. Yeah. We did get one ghost who said that they were non-binary, but I think it was mostly my shaky hands because I talked to a bunch of ghosts this night.
That's awesome.
It was great. So the first ghost we get, we establish it's a male ghost. So we're at the tree and I'm just like chit-chatting. I'm like, okay, are you a criminal? And he's like, no.
No.
And then Jack comes up with the $10 million question.
Uh-oh.
Are you a slaver? And this motherfucking ghost goes, yup. And we're okay.
Oh, no.
So then I'm like, were you on the side of the Confederacy? And he says, no. And then I go, okay, do you know what the Confederacy is? And very slowly he admits that he does. And then we started having fun because as it turns out, this slaver ghost was also a bit of a perv because he kept doing the dowsing rods such that one of them, when it would cross for yes, would overswing and then tap my boob. And that happened like 4 times. And so finally we're like, are you a boob man? And he said, no. And then I go, are you touching my boobs because my butt is too far away? And he said, yes.
Oh my God.
So he was a fucking slaver. I asked if he was hanged as a result of his slaving. He said, no. And I was like, did you commit a crime? And he said, no. And I'm like, of course you fucking didn't, but maybe you should think about what that means. Anyway, we went to a different part. Meanwhile, my coworker Olivia and her husband are just like romping around having a grand old time with the EMF because they both believe in ghosts 100%. So they're in a different part and like her husband is trying to find where the signal is strongest and where's the ghost? Where's the ghost? And he finally finds a place and it's like red hot. We're like, all right, let's bring the dowsing rods over. Let's see who we have. So we're like, okay, are you a ghost? And the ghost goes, yes. We're like, okay, are you male? No. Are you female? No. Do you prescribe to the gender non-binary? Ghost goes, yes. And we're like, great, this is a non-binary ghost. Welcome, non-binary ghost. What's your deal? And we ask, no, are you a slaver? And the ghost says, no.
Okay.
And we're like, fantastic, because there's an asshole over there who's also a perv and he's a fucking slaver and we don't have time for that. And then we asked this ghost if they were hot. And this ghost said no.
Aww.
And we were like, oh no. And then Jack goes, did you die because you weren't hot? And they said yes.
They're ugly, so they had to die.
They had to die because they were ugly. It was really sad. So then we told that ghost that they were hot and it was fine. Then my coworker insisted on getting the dowsing rods, except she had the hiccups really terribly.
Oh no.
So she's like hiccuping and trying to ask if the ghost likes High School Musical.
Oh my God. Who?
The ghost said yes, it's
okay,
fine.
Okay, I was going to say who doesn't.
I mean,
it was the musical my senior year of high school. A lot of people were salty about it.
Was it really?
It really was, yeah.
Oh, yikes. Yep,
2008, we were capitalizing on High School Musical's popularity. It's funny, I really want to try the dowsing rods thing because the only time I've ever seen it in action is in Pokemon when you're looking for hidden items.
Yeah, and then it's like ding, 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 ding. Yeah, ding. The dowsing rods in real life, it's just, same it's principle as the Ouija board.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's just your shaky hands. Wiggle,
yeah.
But it's very fun because we then got, this was, I think, meaningful to the woman. We went back to our tree. Mm-hmm. Michael, my coworker's husband, is traipsing around like trying with the EMF, whatever. And then a lady comes up to us and she's got like red hot signal. She's like, no matter where I go, this thing is like super high. It's showing that there's a presence here. And I'm like, okay, well, where's your phone? You know, do you have a phone, whatever? And we're like, okay, well, let's team up. We'll use our dowsing rods. We'll try and figure out what's the deal with your ghost. So, you know, we ask, is there a ghost there? We get a yes. We ask, are you male? No. Are you female? Yes. And we're like, okay. And then we ask, do you feel an affinity for this woman? And the ghost says yes. And we're like, okay. Is it because you're related to her? And the ghost says no. And we're like, okay. And we go, does she remind you of someone you're related to? And the ghost says yes. We're like, okay. And then we're like, okay, so you were a female. Were you married? Yes. Did you have a family? Yes. And then I go, did you outlive your family? She goes, yes. We were like, did you have children? Yes. Did you outlive your children? Yes. We go, okay. And we go, did you have a daughter? And she says, no.
Huh.
I'm like, okay. Did you have a son? Yes. Son died young. We're assuming. And then at this point, I ask the woman on the tour, I'm like, what's your name? She goes, Kara. And I go, would you have named your daughter Kara? And the ghost says, yes.
Ah!
And we were like, did you want a daughter? And the ghost says, yes. And we were like, is this why you like Kara? And she goes, yes. And we're like, all right, well, we have our solution. And Kara seemed to really like it.
Aww.
And she kept saying, she's like, you're asking great questions. And I'm like, I'm having really fun conducting this fantasy narrative.
I just, that's a so fun. And I want to do something like that.
What? I know. I'm low-key like, I wonder if Amazon can send us some dowsing rods.
Well, but I want to go on a ghost tour where they give you us, like, you know, toys. Electromagnetic stuff and
yeah.
dowsing rods.
Yeah, the Sydney quarantine tour that I did at Manly, they gave us the EMF readers.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. And, like, the dowsing rods, I feel like, are something we could easily purchase ourselves or make.
Because they're just, like, two little bits of metal
with a silver thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if Baltimore has any, like, really interactive ones.
I bet they do. We can look.
Yeah, we should look.
Yeah, and if not, I'll see how much dowsing rods are and if we can order some. Because I had a blast with them.
We have a bunch of cemeteries really. Around our area, so we can we'll just go
wander around. For a bit and chit-chat. And then we get back on the bus, and our last kind of stop after all of our romping and fun was there's a place called the Charity Hill Hospital.
Uh-huh.
And it's no longer an active hospital.
Already sounds spooky.
Right? Because it sounds a little like Silent Hill, and then the word charity in this context makes it sound scary.
I don't like where this is going.
You shouldn't. So basically, it's abandoned now and it can never be a hospital again because after Katrina, where the waters rose, too much of the hospital got, like, sewage and gunk. And they're like, they can never get it sanitized to the point of being a hospital again. So right now it stands dormant. Someone recently bought it and they're going to put apartments there because of course they fucking are.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do?
But they reported on the local news one time, it was December, and they're talking about, they're in front of the hospital, and they notice there's a lit Christmas tree in one of the windows.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, that's weird, nobody's supposed to be in here, it's like super condemned, like, don't go in there, it's been bought out by a private whoever the fuck who's going to build apartments.
Yeah.
Whatever. So they see that, they call the cops, they're thinking somebody's just like, haha, they put up a Christmas tree, we got to take it down because they were trespassing. The cops go up, they find the room where very clearly on the news it showed the Christmas tree. They go into the room, and there's nothing there. So they're like, okay, haha, prankster, you know, saw us coming, you took the fucking Christmas tree, you thought you're so clever. Sure enough, on the next night, news goes back to the same place, reporting on a different story, and the Christmas tree is back. And this time, the police kind of knew, they were like, I wonder if this person's going to strike again, so they'd kind of like, set up to be adjacent. They bust into the hospital, they find the room, and there's no Christmas tree.
Okay.
So it's just a ghost Christmas tree in the abandoned hospital.
Okay.
Super festive. Super fun.
This hospital just reminded me, up in Buffalo, there's a hotel that used to be an asylum of some kind, and there's like super haunted stuff in it. And
nice.
I was like, they should make this old hospital into haunted apartments. But I'm sure they're going to tear down the whole thing.
And then build haunted apartments.
Yeah, I'm sure the apartments will still be haunted nevertheless.
Yeah.
Excellent. And
that was the end of this bus tour. I believe it's called the Ghost Riders Tour. We got a Groupon. If you're in the area, I do recommend it. The bus has AC, which was most of what we were looking for. We're like, we've been on our feet for like 14 hours a day the past like 3 days.
Yeah.
We're over it. Let's just sit on a bus and drink.
I love it.
So then on Sunday, Jack and I went on the Bad Bitches of New Orleans tour.
Love it.
And this one was very fun. This was a walking tour through the French Quarter. And if you have the option to do it. Elaine was great. She was our walking person. Elaine, if by some happenstance you find this podcast, I'm sorry, my face looked like that. I was very tired.
Oh, no.
She kept looking at me and, like, looking kind of concerned, and I wanted to be like, I'm not actually sad. This is just how my face looks, especially when I'm tired.
Was this daytime or nighttime?
Nighttime. So our tour started at 8:30. They also have it at 6.
Ooh.
But the 6 was sold out. Anyway, so we kicked off our tour of the French Quarter by stopping at this one particular street, half of which was owned by a badass woman named Michaela Pontalba. And Michaela married a man who affectionately went by Tintin.
Okay.
As a grown-ass man, everybody called him Tintin.
Okay.
And he kind of sucked because, like, I mean, he, like, 1800 sucked.
Which means 1800 by modern times. Like, but super, like, sucked.
But not even, like, sucked by, like, modern definition. He just sucked because of 1800s toxic masculinity. Okay. So, like, he was like, hey, my name is Tintin. I clearly cannot handle adult responsibility. Michaela, would you like to run our property and, like, make sure our kids get an education and, like, take control of everything? And Michaela's like, I sure the fuck would. And so everybody else is, like, looking at this and they're like, hey, Tintin, you gotta get your woman under control. And poor Tintin is just like, no, I think I'm okay. It's fine.
But then I need her to handle it.
Yes, I need someone to be an adult for me. I'm living my best life, which is as not an adult. Everyone is jealous of me.
With my wife taking care of me.
Yeah, thank God. And then Tintin's father was like, Tintin, bro, you gotta get your woman in check. And he's like, Dad, I don't know what to do. At this point, she's been running the household for years. Like, she runs all our property and shit. Like, what do I do? And so his dad encouraged him. He's like, take all the property away from her as much as you can.
Because it's
the 1800s and women aren't people.
But he didn't want to do it anyway.
I know, Tintin. Jesus.
Girl, backbone, and, Tintin. Like,
take her kids away, whatever. What? And then even that, Michaela's like, hey, how about fuck you? And so she started divorce proceedings, which was like cuckoo bananas at the time.
Yeah.
Like, you did not get a divorce.
I was gonna say, Michaela. Kate Chopin, The Awakening.
Walked into the fucking ocean.
She just
ocean.
Walked right into the ocean because you're not going to get divorced. Like,
can't get a divorce. Want to bone other people? Guess I'll just walk into the ocean. So Michaela is like, fuck all this. Fuck all this property stealing. I've been managing this shit. I am fucking owed. So Tintin turns to his daddy and goes, Daddy, I don't know what to do. And Tintin's dad is like, I got this, bro. And so Tintin's dad invites Michaela to dinner. I believe at this point they are
trap.
In France.
Oh.
Yes. But it is it's a French trap.
Yeah.
Je suis trap. That's nonsense. So he invites her to dinner and he's like, Michaela, look, I get it. Our families have differences. I'd love to come to dinner at my house. We'll talk it over. We'll figure it out. Maybe we can stop this messy divorce thing and stop bringing shame to the family. Because the Pontalbas were like rich AF and big deal.
Shouldn't. I don't trust this.
Because Tintin's fucking dad pulled out a gun and shot Michaela a whole bunch.
Oh, God.
Like, he shot her, I think, 3 times in the chest. And once in the shoulder. And then he's like, I've done it. I've killed this problem woman. My family's legacy is secure because now they're all going to be super chill about me being a murderer.
What
That's
the
fine.
Fuck?
And he turns the gun on himself and he takes his own life. Except, spoiler alert, Michaela wasn't dead.
Wait, that's hilarious.
Wait. He shot her so many times and she's like, I'm fine. So she recovers from getting shot a whole bunch and getting shoddy medical care in the 1800s. She comes back to New Orleans. She gets her fucking divorce. She gets all her property back from fucking Tintin.
Her father-in-law shot himself.
Her father-in-law is super deadsville. He did not survive his gunshot, so the only kind of good shooting he did was of himself. He could not kill her to save
his life.
I was
going to say, this is some kind of, like, cosmic karmic retribution.
Yeah, the universe was like, she's awesome, she's gonna be fine. Anyway, I put in my notes, she survived and boss-ass bitched her way to much property.
Yeah.
Basically, this entire fucking street in New Orleans, she owns. So you'll see, like, the PA, like, monogrammed initials on everything, and it's because Michaela Pontalba owned all that shit.
Wait, that's and awesome. Some people, I want to badass people, my way into a lot of property.
Right, who doesn't? So some people say that she still haunts it, but they hear, like, spooky dinner party sounds, ooh, and they see a lady in period clothing going up the stairs. So that might be her, but she died in France, so it might not be. It's hard to say.
I wonder what color period clothing. What color lady is she?
I don't know. What color is the boss-ass bitch color? Because that's what she wears.
I think a really, like a fiery red-orange.
Then yes, that's what she's the woman in fiery red-orange, kicking her way to owning a bunch of property and saying, fuck off, Tintin. Then we went over to Gallatin Street and we learned of notorious sex worker Bricktop Jackson. They called her Bricktop because she had bright red hair.
She's a Bricktop.
And she was mighty, mighty and letting it all hang out. She was apparently built like a house. She was pretty sturdy. And at the time, Gallatin Street was like where all the gangs went because it was so bad that even the police were scared to go. And this is like early 1800s. And the police were like, y'all are on your own. Because if they knew if they went there, they would get the shit beat out of them at best.
Oh, absolutely.
So they were like, y'all can just have it. So the gangs ran everything. And Bricktop was like the meanest motherfucker there. And there was this like whole gang of sex worker ladies who was just like running these fucking streets. So Bricktop had a boyfriend who kind of sucked. At one point, he got shot in the arm, and he replaced his arm with, no joke, a chain and a fucking ball that to use as a weapon, like a fucking Quentin Tarantino character.
What the fuck? Wait, that's hilarious. And even better,
Bricktop was being an asshole and got it into his head that beating up his sex worker girlfriend was a good idea. And, like, she had wronged him, so he pulls out a whip to whip her, and Bricktop is like, I think the fuck not, you trick-ass bitch. Takes the whip away, starts beating him with it. So then he tries to use his fucking ball and chain arm on her. She takes that shit away. She, like, beats the shit out of him.
Maybe if a redacted character on Riverdale had a chain and ball arm instead of a hook hand, he probably would have survived. He would have survived.
Because he would have had a fucking ball and chain for an arm.
Instead of a fucking hook hand.
Yep. And then also Bricktop would just like beat dudes to death for like looking at her funny.
Good.
Which like I realize is probably not great, but also like I feel like the early 1800s version of looking at someone funny is like assault.
Yeah.
And they just called it looking at her funny, and then she just beat the shit out of them. And then you had another infamous sex worker named Bridget Fury. Which is incredible.
What a good name. Bricktop, right? And Bridget Fury.
Yeah, and she was a fucking fury because as a sex worker, at one point she had taken a John back and he, you know, got his thing.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I don't have to pay you because I'm a man and I do what I want.
The fuck.
And Bridget's
the fuck
like,
you say?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What?
And he's like, toodaloo. And he like starts walking away.
And then so she stabs him in the neck.
You're not far wrong. Bridget chases him down, grabs an axe, and axes him a question right in the back of his head.
Oh my god.
And apparently she hit him so hard that people reported blocks away hearing the thud of the axe embedding in his skull. Bridget was brought up on murder charges, but she was acquitted. And if I remember correctly, I believe this was a case of death where the police looked at the body and they were like, who's to say what happened here? I think he died of natural causes.
That's amazing. He just, the axe needed to ax him a question.
It did, and then he died of natural causes.
He died of natural causes. Who,
of axing himself.
Whom amongst us has not died of natural
axings?
Axings. Just naturally occurring axes in the wild.
It just happens all the time. So then we got one more story of a woman from Gallatin Street. Her name was Mary. She was not as rough and tumble as Bricktop or Bridget Fury.
But was she quite contrary?
Kind of. So she was forced into sex work when she was like 14 because she didn't have any other means of supporting herself.
No.
She didn't have a family.
Yeah.
And then she was rescued from this sex work life that she did not want by a dude who was like, I don't care about your background. Let's do this. I want to marry you. And she's like, this is amazing. I have hope for the first time ever. It's the mid to late 1800s.
Yeah.
Things are turning around for old Mary. What's that? Mid to late 1800s. Why is my fella going off to war? And her fella did not come back from the Civil War.
Oh, no.
So he came back. He was dead. And so Mary did not take it well. She hanged herself.
Oh, God.
And the spot where she hanged herself, it is now a bar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it's Mississippi River Bottom.
Uh-huh.
Well, this very spot where she hanged herself is now the women's bathroom.
Oh.
And women who use the women's restroom will notice they'll go to wash their hands and they'll look up into the sink and they'll see their face. And then behind them, they'll see a ghostly face. And they're like, what? And one woman reportedly turned around to see who was behind her. And the ghost of Mary shoved her so hard against the sink that the mirror fell from the wall and shattered.
Oh, God.
And that's Mary of Gallatin Street. Anyway, so the next stop on the tour, we went to the Hotel Villa Convento. And this was Elaine, our tour guide's favorite spot in all of New Orleans. Yeah. She's like, this is a great hotel, especially if you're a lady. If you're a dude, 50-50. Because the Hotel Villa Convento used to be a brothel, like a lot of places in New Orleans.
Sure.
That's fine. And there is the ghost of a madam at the brothel because this madam took no shit. So because 1800s men were terrible, occasionally men would decide, I paid you for the evening, I can do whatever I want to you. And so they would beat the women there. And so
I'm going to hop in a time machine and go fuck some shit up.
Oh, you don't need to.
She was
just
there.
Just you wait. So one time a man gets this funny idea. He's like, I paid for the evening, I'm going to beat the shit out of my sex worker. And he starts to, and the woman gets up and like runs out screaming. And she's like, what the fuck? So she like runs down to the main area where the madam is. And she's like, this dude's fucking beating me. Mm-hmm. The dude comes charging down the stairs and he's like, hey, I paid her. This is my time. I get to do what I want because I'm a man and I never ever get to do what I want other than literally every other single time of my life.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And the madam goes, oh, sir, I'm so sorry. If you'll just step over and have a drink, I'm going to send you my two best girls. This one's new. We can't do any fucking thing with her. And he's like, fucking good. So he goes into this little remote corner to have a drink.
Does she poison him?
Having a great time. She doesn't poison him. Mm. She sends over two of her ladies as promised. And he's like, now this party's fucking starting.
Do they stab him in the neck?
Well, then two more ladies come.
Uh-huh.
And then two more.
Do they tie him down?
And then two more.
And then...
Until 10 women are there.
They beat
and
him
he
up?
Realizes he's surrounded. And he's like, uh-oh. And then the madam comes. And then everybody goes fucking bananas. Woo. And beats this man to death. Like, full on.
Holy
they surround
shit.
Him. The madam gives the word. They all beat the shit out of him. He is now dead.
Super
dead. They
dead-sies.
Loot his body for his wallet, which they take all the shit out of. Any loose jewelry that he has, watches, gold fillings, whatever. Anything that's not nailed down, they're fucking taking. And then they roll him out back to the mass grave they have for asshole men who didn't listen. And then they throw his empty wallet on him.
Okay.
As a sign, just as like the ultimate shame.
One, this is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But two, this is Hustlers but Violent.
Oh, yeah. It's for sure Hustlers but Violent. Honestly, literally, this madam never did anything wrong in her life. She was fully justified in everything she did. All the men were being shitty.
I love her.
I do too. And apparently she's not done fucking up shitty men because the Hotel Villa Convento is haunted AF. The madam is now still hanging out at the Hotel Villa Convento. Mm-hmm. And women report that if they bring a significant other, generally it's men, if they're maybe not a great person, the madam will make herself known to them. She'll appear as a shadow in the bathroom. One woman came with her now ex-husband. And he wasn't great, but they were there and they were trying to get amorous in the bed when he looked up and freaked out. And she's like, what's the problem? I don't see anything. And he goes, there's a woman right here watching us. And it was the madam. And so the madam mostly makes herself known to shitty men.
Cool.
So if you want to, if you're on the fence about your fella, you take him to this hotel. And if he can see the madam, it means he sucks.
Oh, God. Girl, get out of there.
Yeah. Like the madam is like, I'm not going to tell you your business, but you got to throw the whole man away. Anyway, next we went to the Bourbon Orleans Hotel. Mm-hmm. And this was a convent. It was called the Sisters of the Holy Family. One nun may have taken her own life, she now haunts room 303, and she will wake people up by weeping over them. So just like a quick little tidbit there. Then when we went to the LaLaurie house, and as you guys may know, Delphine LaLaurie was one of history's greatest horrible monsters.
Uh-huh.
She was a terrible torturer at a time where basically you just had to show your servants, like, the barest minimum of human dignity by, like, not beating them in front of other people, and it was okay. And she could not even pass that very low and unacceptable bar because she had a torture room. At one point, she either tried to whip a little girl till the little girl threw herself out of the third floor window, or she just threw the little girl out of the window herself.
Have we talked about her on our podcast before?
We've touched on her a tiny bit. She's like not at all like Marie Laveau, who was a badass and an incredible
woman.
No, but I feel
like we've talked about a very violent woman like that before.
Yeah, that's LaLaurie.
Okay.
The jig was up when her house caught on fire and people reported that the servants were still inside and they went inside and they saw an older woman chained to the stove.
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, and she said, you have to go up to the room where nobody comes back from. I'll be fine, but please, firemen, go save those people. Mm-hmm. And they went in there. They saw a man hanging by his neck with his arms and legs stretched past breaking point. A bunch of terrible rumors went around about what she did, including maybe putting a man in a box with ants and covering his body in honey to see how long it took the ants to eat him. And just like a bunch of really horrible shit. She was a terrible person. You can read more about it. Yeah. It's not a fun story. It's really terrible.
No, not at all.
No. But the fun part of the story, because we did go to the LaLaurie house, and it's a gorgeous house. If you didn't know it's spooky history, you'd be like, this is a super cute place. Like, look how nice it is. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah,
it's a very nice house where horrible things happen. Well, a young man, let's use a fake name. Let's call him Mick Mage. I'm just kidding. It was Nicolas Cage. So he bought the house.
Okay.
And he tried to live there for a little bit, and he claims it cursed him. And then when it cursed him, he ran around to all of the residents of New Orleans and was like, what can I do to get uncursed? And because the residents of New Orleans love nothing more than, like, the New Orleans Saints and fucking with tourists, they go, you have to get buried here, bro. And that's why Nick Cage bought his stupid burial pyramid. It's because he thinks it'll uncurse him buying the LaLaurie house.
One, that's fucking hilarious. And two, he's definitely cursed because have you seen his career?
Yeah, there are some people who speculate, actually, our tour guide brought it up, that that is what doomed his career. That prior to him buying the LaLaurie house, he was in all the best movies. He won an Oscar. He was in Moonstruck with Cher. He was in all of these, like, great films.
Uh-huh.
And then he bought the LaLaurie house, and the LaLaurie house cursed him. And now he's in fucking Con Air and National Treasure and all of these terrible movies.
That's fucking hilarious.
I love it. It brings me a lot of joy. So, yeah, she's the worst. I put in my notes. She's the worst with slave torture, child out the window, fire, chaining people to things, etc. She just sucked. Like,
and she's ruined Nicolas Cage.
She's ruined Nicolas Cage, which is arguably the nicest thing she's done. She's done a lot of really shitty, terrible things.
Yeah, for real.
And, like, upsettingly, like, when the child fell out of the window, it was, like, months before anybody did anything. Like, they all saw it. And they were like, you know you can't treat servants like this, right? Like, even though we're assholes who literally own people, we have a limit to, like, what you can do to people. But the police came to investigate, and Madame LaLaurie was very charming. She was very personable. She was a pretty white lady. And they were like, there's no way she threw a kid out the window. Like, this has to be some mistake. It must have just been a terrible accident. We can leave it. It's fine. And then it wasn't until the fire, when the firefighters found her actual torture room, that they were like, oh no, the pretty face is a lie.
It's like, you know, do you remember School Teacher from Beloved?
And yes. Like,
she's like 10,000 times worse than School Teacher. And the School Teacher is like the fucking worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't make that shit up. And she was real.
You can't. Yeah, and that's the thing about the LaLaurie story. It sounds like something out of a terrible horror movie.
Yeah.
But it is actually, and like some of the accounts are exaggerated. Like,
sure.
If you cite the sources, it's always a newspaper where it's like, I heard from my cousin who's friends with the neighbor.
But definitely there's
an element of truth to it. She was a horrible monster. She was for sure torturing people. It's just unclear of what that entailed.
To what degree? Yeah.
Yeah. To what degree? Yeah, but she was terrible. But anyway, from there, we went to the best place in the entire world. Marie Laveau's house.
Marie Laveau.
Marie Laveau. She didn't suck. She was a great lady. We've already been over how great she was and how much we love her. Sadly, her actual house was torn down mid-1900s.
Uh-huh.
But they have... They tore it down in the late 1800s. They rebuilt it in the early 1900s, and they tried to make it, like, period appropriate. So it's as close as we can think it was to how she actually lived.
Uh-huh.
So this is what's on her house now. They do have a plaque there denoting that this is Marie Laveau's house.
Yeah.
And she told us a story about, like, it for a while it was an Airbnb.
Huh.
But apparently people used to stay in the Airbnb and they reported hearing, like, music and chanting.
Okay.
They'd find weird feathers places. They'd see a lady carrying a snake around. One thing I did learn about her that I didn't know is when she died, people were convinced that she had come back from the dead.
Oh.
But it was because she had a daughter, a biological daughter, whose name was also Marie.
Uh-huh.
And Marie would dress in her mother's clothing, carry around her mother's snake zombie, and would go around being like, hi, yes, I'm Marie Laveau. And it kind of kept the myth alive.
Oh, that's funny.
Because then people would take her super seriously and be like, holy shit, this woman cheated death. Some other cool shit she did. The people she treated who had yellow fever, they did not die.
Ooh.
So while yellow fever had a near 100% death rate, the people who did not die were treated by Marie Laveau. We don't know what she did, but they survived. People who had a hard time getting pregnant, so like women would come to her and be like, we've been trying, I can't have a baby, what's the deal? Marie Laveau would treat them, and within a month they'd be pregnant.
Interesting. What did she know?
Mm-hmm. How did she know it?
Right?
You magical goddess queen, tell me your secrets. We definitely talked about when we did the ghosts with our name episode. Mm-hmm. We talked about how she only charged white people, wealthy white people, for what they wanted. The poor servant class, particularly people of color, she'd do whatever. She'd be like, yeah, come see me. I'm going to take a look at what ails you. I'm going to give you this charm, whatever, free of charge. Well, then it was sort of a quid pro quo that was unspoken. She never asked people to do it. But then, you know, people's servants would come to see her for help with, I can't get pregnant, I really want a kid. Mm-hmm. Now I have a kid thanks to Marie Laveau. I want to make sure that I stay in the Voodoo Queen's good graces. I'm going to feed her some intel on my boss.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go there and be like, hey, the man of the house is having some kidney problems and it hurts when he pees. And so, you know, whatever. And so people used to joke that, like, you wouldn't know there was a problem until Marie Laveau showed up on your doorstep and said, I'm here to fix it.
Interesting.
So it gave her this reputation of being, like, able to read minds and know all the problems. But really, she was just listening to the people that people assumed weren't there.
You ignore them. You don't treat them as human.
Exactly. Because this was newly post-Civil War. So most of the servant class was freed slaves, people of color who just barely had a taste of freedom, who still needed to earn a living, who were still being treated as second-class citizens. So their servant masters weren't seeing them.
Yeah.
They were like, I know she's in the room, but she's not a person, so I don't need to worry about talking about my husband's weird toe pains in front of her. Because she's not going to hear it because she's not a person.
No.
So then Marie Laveau has a secret network of spies to feed her intel. And then she can go charge all the white people all the money.
I love that. That's amazing.
I love her so much. And those were the tours that I took in New Orleans.
That's so cool.
Some of the spooky history. It was a great time.
I can't wait to go. I want to go.
It is hot AF.
Yeah.
I cannot emphasize enough how hot it is. I am low-key covered in mosquito bites.
Yeah, I've heard it's a good winter trip.
Yes, absolutely. It was a good trip.
That's good.
I'm very tired.
Yeah. You've earned your rest.
Thank God.
Definitely.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to Sasha.
Happy post-birthday to Courtney.
Happy belated birthday to me. You're listening to the voice of 29-year-old me, but when you're listening to it, I'm now 30-year-old me.
Yes. Well, you're still older and wiser than me, so.
That's true. Thank God. I'm just... I can still tell Sasha what to do, you guys. And what I'm going to tell you to do is have a great night.
Yeah.
Y'all listening to it, have a great day. Send us your spooky stories, spoophour@gmail.com.
Send us your Halloween selfies.
Yeah.
Spoophour@gmail.com.
Support our Patreon once it's got some stuff on there.
Yep.
James, well done, sir. High fives all around.
High fives all around. Stay
tuned. Have a good night.
Good night.
Stay tuned. Toodles.
Stay spooky.